Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor at Forward Church in Chiefland, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thanks so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Good evening. Before we get too far tonight, I just want to go ahead and start off with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you this evening. Father, I just pray that you will use me as a vessel to bring your word, Father, that you will just move me out of the way and that your word will just come flowing out of me as you want it presented, Father. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing I want to start off with tonight is where we all start as Christians. You know, at some point, the Holy Spirit moves you. You hear a song, you hear scriptures, you hear a sermon, whatever it be. The Spirit moves you. You decide that, you know, what you've heard is true. You believe that God has provided us a Savior, that Jesus came to die for our sins because we can't, right? Like, we can't get it right. We the Bible says over and over again, we can't get it right. That's why Jesus had to be, is because we just can't get it right. Over and over again, we see in the Bible entire nations, individuals that failed God over and over again, yet he still blessed them. He still provided a Savior so that we could be saved from that natural affinity to sin. So we make the decision to admit that we can't, that he can, and we believe it. So we get baptized. Family, friends, everybody's excited. You're happy. It's a great occasion. The Bible says that there's actually a celebration in heaven, that the angels amongst God are rejoicing for the one sinner who has repented. So there's a celebration. We feel great. We feel new. You know, the Bible says we are made new. We feel, you know, unstoppable at that point. We've got God on our side. We believe that Jesus has died for us. We believe that he's already won the battle. We do good for a while. Somewhere along the line, life happens, right? So what happens? You go to work, maybe you lose your job. Maybe you lose a family member, friend. Finances are struggling. You know, the world happens to us. Happens to us every day. The Bible says that we're going to fail every day. So we go about our days and, you know, we have financial strain, maybe a family member sick. We start to get busy. You know, we're busy. We're too busy for church. We're too busy for daily reading. We're too busy for prayer. We're too busy to help a friend. We're too busy to fellowship with other believers. We get busy. Then we get comfortable. You get comfortable, you stop moving. So, you know, when you're comfortable, you stop seeking God. And it's not that you stop believing in him. It's not that you don't believe Jesus died for you anymore. You've just lost that connection to what you believed. Because the world has beat you down to a point where you feel stressed, you feel anxiety, you don't believe that you're good enough. You don't believe that you're worthy. Sometimes the world convinces us that we're not worthy, that we're not good enough, that we're not supposed to even be in this building worshiping a God that loves us so much that he gave his only son. So sometimes it's the hits we take. You know, we get discouraged. We don't feel worthy to God. Stress and anxiety, just it can tear you down, and then it isolates you. How many people they come to church, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And they're not talking to their friends. They're not talking to their family. They're avoiding, people that could have a positive influence in their life. They're not going to church. They're not reading their Bible anymore. They've basically become a part of the world, but they still haven't lost that belief. You know, no matter how struggling it gets, it's not that you forget. Or it's not that you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins anymore. You just kind of forget that he did it. Because the world is more pressing upon you than what you intermittently read. Okay, so, I mean, some people only come to church once a week. Well, if that's the only time you're being fed, then you're not really you're not helping yourself with your faith. You're not stepping out. You're not feeding yourself. If you're not praying, you're not seeking God. If you're not reading the Bible, you're not seeking to learn more about him. And if you're not seeking more about him, then you're falling further behind. Right? So once we, we have a tendency that once we isolate, we get isolated, we just stop. We stop reading, we stop doing all these things that I'm talking about. But listen, it's okay, because it happens to every single one of us, okay? So when you see someone that has backslid, that's a word people like to use. I don't like to use it. I think it's more of a, they've just forgot. They've forgotten what they've heard. They've forgotten what they've read. It's not that they have quit believing in it. They're just not putting their focus into that. So when you see someone that's doing that, it's not a judgmental thing. It's something that we can help with. So, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we all fall short of the glory of God. That, we're not going to do this thing right every day. I mean, if we did, why did Jesus die? I mean, he's on the cross. He died for our sins because over and over again, people could not get it right. So God delivered us a Savior. Romans 5:12 says we're all sinners. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says no one on earth is righteous and never sins. So the Bible tells us this, and we're given multiple examples of how even the closest to him have little faith and make the wrong choices. Matthew 8, Jesus tells his disciples that they have little faith because they're on a boat, there's a storm, and all of a sudden they think the storm's more powerful than Jesus. They've already seen him perform miracles. They've already seen what he can do. They've already seen the power of God at hand in their own sight. Yet, all of a sudden, this storm scares them to the point they think they're going to die. Matthew 14:31, Peter decides that he's going to step out. He's going to walk on water. He calls to Jesus. Jesus says, come on. What does he do? He sees the storm. He takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he sinks. Made the wrong choice. Matthew 17:20, the disciples have been given the power from Jesus. Jesus gives them the ability to cast out demons. They can't do it. Jesus once again tells them, you got little faith. So we have disciples, people who are walking and talking hand in hand with Jesus every single day of their lives, seeing nothing but the miracles of God at hand. Yet they have so little faith that they can't perform the task that Jesus has given them. Okay? So what I'm getting at is you feel like a failure. Life's beat the crap out of you. You're not getting anywhere, or at least you don't feel like you are. Maybe you've made some wrong choices that have led to this circumstance that you're in. Maybe those choices weren't yours. Maybe it was somebody else's and you feel jilted because now you're in that circumstance. Either way, you're in good company because we all do it. And so did his disciples. Every single day, we're going to fail. Every single day, we're going to fall short of the glory of God. So we know that Jesus died for our sins. We know that we're going to fail each and every day. So then why do we feel like we're failing when we've been told that we're going to fail? Why do we feel not worthy when we're told that we're going to fall short of the glory of God? Yet we know Jesus has already finished it for us. So why do we feel this way? Well, it's because your connection to God has been corroded. So the title of my message tonight is Clean Your Ground. So we've got all these cars out here now. Any new car has multiple computers, has multiple sensors, solenoids, wiring, has batteries left and right. Some of them got multiple batteries. Every single one of them needs a ground to be able to complete that circuit. So what I see in my line of business, if any of y'all don't know, I'm a mechanic. What we see is these sensors work great when the car is first built, right? Everything's working the way it should. Your windows go up and down. Your transmission's shifting fine. What happens? Same thing that happens to us. Life happens. You put it through hot weather, cold weather, mud, rain, sleet, hail, all these things that lead to metal oxidation, corrosion. Well, I've had people come in and their transmission won't shift at all. It won't do nothing. The vehicle will not even move. And all it is a ground cable on the vehicle, body ground, that has become corroded. It's not off the vehicle. It's still attached. It's still trying to do its job. But there's corrosion that's stopping the connection between it and the ground that is stopping it from working properly. We're just like that car. Every single day we go through life and life is hitting us. It's not going to stop hitting us. We're going to keep getting hit. We're going to keep having problems. We're going to keep having to go through life and making decisions and choices. We're going to keep having corrosion build up between us and Jesus. Because as the world hits us, we have a tendency to isolate ourselves. We don't only isolate ourselves from friends and family, but we also isolate ourselves from His Word. We also isolate ourselves from His glory, His mercy, His everything. And it's not that He's not there for you. It's not that you've lost Jesus or that you've walked away from Him. It's you've forgotten. The corrosion buildup between you and Jesus has put a separation there where you have forgotten what He has already done for you. So you feel bad about it. You feel bad about yourself. You feel bad about the things that you've done. You feel remorse or regret, all these things, when it's not necessary. Because Jesus already knew. God already knew what you were going to do. He already knew that you were going to fail. He told you that. He already knew that you're not going to get it right. He told you that. That's why He provided Jesus for us. So the easiest thing that you got to do is just clean up your ground. You know, the way I get that transmission to work, when the ground cable's not working, I just disconnect the ground, I clean it up, stick it back on there. There we go. Transmission's fixed. It's the same thing with our lives. You want to clean up your ground? Pick up the Bible. Pick up His Word. Don't get comfortable with just reading a daily devotion and calling it quits. Actually, seek God. Seek His face. Seek His mercy. Seek His love. Seek His power. Seek everything He has to offer you in life. Sorry, I've lost my space here. So there's a scripture that's used a lot. You see it all over the place now. It's Jeremiah 29:11. That God's got a plan for you to prosper you, not to hurt you, all that. Yep. But what nobody goes further beyond is the next verse. And as soon as I can find Jeremiah here in my illuminated Bible. So 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." But the next verse is what I call the directions to that promise. Okay, we talk about promises a lot, that, you know, God made promises to us, and this is one of them. This is a promise that He's made to us, that He has a plan for our future to prosper us. But like anything else in life, there is an action that has to be taken by you. Okay, like you couldn't accept Jesus without accepting Jesus, without admitting that you can't get it right and that He can and that you believe. So number 12 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." So there it is. You want the promise? You want Jesus? You want grace? You want mercy? You want all these things that He's promised to us? What takes an action on our part? We have to actually seek Him with all of our heart. So the easiest way to clean up your grounds, like I said, you just turn around. You take that ground and you clean it up. You pick up your Bible. You read every day. You come to church every time the doors are open. You volunteer. You maybe just call a friend who you know is a like believer and just fellowship with them, hang out with them, maybe even do a small Bible study or just talk about Scripture in general. Some of the greatest, you know, I would say maybe revelations of me and my belief system with Jesus is that I've been able to sit down with some great minds, some people that, you know a lot more than I do about the Bible, and they've been able to break it down, and then it helps me. So all these things that you know, when we get busy and we get comfortable, that we forget to do. We make excuses on not coming to church. We make excuses on why we don't have time to read the Bible. We make excuses on why we can't go help a friend. We're just too busy. All those things are building corrosion in our life because it's the opposite of what Jesus wants us to do, which is seek him with all our heart, to serve our neighbors, to serve our church, to serve our family, to serve others more than ourselves, to love others, to show the love of Jesus to each and every one that we come in contact with. So maybe your situation is overwhelming. Maybe it is stressful. Maybe it is super anxious, anxiety level skyrocketing. I recently went through this just a couple months ago, you know, and I'm not going to go into details on what it is, but I questioned God. I was sitting there like, what? What do you want me to do? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. But he pointed me right back to what I'm saying here. The only reason I was in the position I was is because I did slack off on my reading. I did slack off on the things that I should be doing as a husband, as a father, as a friend. I slacked off on those things because anxiety was tearing me apart inside. But the Bible says that God doesn't give us an anxious heart, right? So if he gives us strength and anxiety is the opposite of that, then why do we dwell in the anxiety? It's because we forget to read. We forget to serve. We forget to come to church. We find the reasons not to. And then, like I said, your ground becomes corroded and you don't have that strong connection to God. And without that strong connection to God, you're trying to fix everything on your own. And once again, the Bible shows us over and over again, if you try to fix it on your own, you're going to fail every time. You're going to fail. And it may be, you may feel like you passed something. You may feel like you accomplished something because maybe you went off on your own and you quit a job and you went and got something better and you made a bunch of money doing it, right? That doesn't necessarily mean it's a positive thing. Did you sacrifice time with family, friends, church, all that just to make something that wasn't necessarily what God wanted? I mean, not saying that's every situation, but I have seen people chase a dream that wasn't meant for them, that eventually drowned them and their family. And it's because you're not seeking God in the midst of it. You're not seeking his word. You're not seeking his counsel. You're not seeking the counsel of other people who can bless you with his word or just bless you with friendship. Maybe somebody has already been there. Maybe somebody already has gone down that road who could lead you in a different direction or maybe even help you in that direction to do it a little better. But you're not seeking him. Therefore, you're not seeking counsel, which means you're still trying to do everything yourself. And the Bible says when we do it ourselves, we fail. So the word I have tonight, I know it kind of feels like down in nature, but it's really not because it's a super simple fix. All we got to do is turn around and seek his face. All we got to do is turn around and seek him with our entire heart. And he says that he will bless us because we are doing what he's telling us to do. So in Romans 5:34, I just want to share this because it's one of my favorite verses. It's something I kind of hang my hat on because we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. There's no way around it. You can't get away from the fact that the world is happening around you and you live within it. But the Bible says, and I'm going to start in verse 3, Romans 5, 3. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, which is in this translation. Some other translations say tribulations. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance builds character. And character builds our hope. So when you're going through these dark times or anxiety or you feel like you're suffering or you feel like you're just not getting anywhere, maybe you're spinning your wheels. You're not getting anywhere. You're just digging a hole deeper. The Bible says right here that everything we're going through is going to build us. It's going to build our perseverance. It's going to build our patience. It's going to build our character, which in turn builds our hope. And with hope, we have the peace and joy of God. So I guess what I'm saying is when you have a bad ground, and you're not connected to God in the way that we should be, you're going to make bad choices. It's a given. You're going to. But it's super simple to fix it. You just turn around, clean up that ground connection. Clean up that connection to Jesus. Read his word, get in his word, get in your church, serve in your church, serve a family member. I mean, it don't even have to be in this building. It's surely in the word it says to do it in the world. It doesn't say you have to come in here to serve. It says serve people, serve our community. You know, we're not going to change anything by only serving ourselves. We're not showing the love of Jesus by only serving ourselves. So if we'll serve others, we'll get in his word, we'll come to church, we do everything that we're supposed to do. I'm not saying that your life's going to turn out perfect because of it, okay? What I am saying is you'll have a peace about your situations. You'll have a comfort that you can't even explain. You know, I'm still going through the same thing that I was a few months ago, okay? Nothing's really changed, okay? I still have all those same problems. I haven't got out of it, and I still don't know what I'm going to do about it. But it doesn't matter anymore because I've got into his word. I've read that God said to not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's problems will take care of themselves. So I'm going to spend my days reading his word and serving in my church and serving people and friends and family, my children, you know, just anybody. I don't care. I mean, it could be a complete stranger. If they need help, I'm going to choose to serve because what I have found is that God gives me a peace when I do this that I can't do myself. I can't explain it. I can't bring this peace to myself. I can't bring this joy to myself. My wife cannot bring this joy to me. No matter what, I mean, my anxiety levels were so high, I didn't know what to do. I told my wife I was going to go to the doctor because, I mean, I didn't know what else to do. And the world tells us, get medicated. So, I mean, that was kind of the road I was fixing to go down. I'm going to go get some medication. I'm going to take care of this anxiety. Instead, I reached out. And the person that I reached out to gave me some counsel, and he told me to just start in the book. And the more I read, it's not even stuff that I hadn't read before, okay? I mean, like, I'm reading the same scriptures over and over again. And it comes to me in a whole new way. And the more I read, the more peace I'm getting. The more peace I'm getting, the more joy I'm getting. The more joy I'm getting, the more hope I have. The hope that maybe this anxiety will resolve itself. Maybe it won't. But either way, I know that Jesus has already saved me. I know that I have an opportunity, as long as he wakes me up tomorrow, to do a little better, to maybe not make the same bad choices, to read his word, to serve someone else. Maybe I'll be a blessing to someone else. Maybe I won't. But I'm going to try. Because that's what's going to bring my joy level back up. That's what's going to help me. And the more joy that we can get from God, the more that we can read, the more that we do these servitude actions, it's not just to help others. It is. That's the real goal of it all. But on the back side of that is the blessing that you receive. And it's not something that you necessarily seek. It just happens. You help someone else, and you get a joy of seeing them just blessed. You know, you give a little kid a present for no reason. Well, they're giddy about it, right? Same thing with adults. You know, you see somebody in distress, it don't necessarily mean you have to give them money or even food for that matter. Sometimes it's just sitting there listening. Sometimes people just want somebody to, you know, share their burden, to share their thoughts. And maybe you can even share a little word with them that'll help them through that situation. So we're all going to fail. The Bible says it over and over again, shows us examples over and over again. His closest disciples, his closest friends, the people that he put all the trust and power that he had, he put it into them, yet they failed. So don't focus on your failure. Focus on the one that you said, I can't, you can, and I believe. Because if you truly believe that and you truly focus on him, he's going to give you peace. He's going to give you joy. It says in the Bible, and people misquote it all the time, that he's not going to give you more than what you can handle. It does say that, in a way. It says that he's not going to give you more than you can handle without a way out. So it's not that you're not going to have something on you that isn't pressing. It's not that you're not going to have anxiety and stress and disappointment and depression. It's not that you're not going to have these things coming at you. But it's that Jesus has given us a way out. The way out is his word. His word is the way out. His word is what will give you peace in that situation. So if you're feeling any of these things, as a Christian, I don't know how you don't run into some of these things. I'm not saying everybody has the same life, but everybody is going to run into issues. Everybody runs into problems. Don't blame it on your spouse. Don't blame it on your friends. Don't blame it on your boss. Take a good look in the mirror and check your ground. Clean up that ground and you'll feel better. It won't necessarily fix all your problems, but you're going to feel better. You're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. You're going to have hope. And then you'll be a better servant to others. Thank you.
Amen. How many enjoyed that tonight? Amen. That's good stuff. And we're actually going to, on Wednesday nights, I will be there, going to be, well, let me say it this way. I'll be sharing the responsibility of Wednesday nights so that I'm not doing Sundays and Wednesdays. So you'll hear a lot from our leadership, those on leadership team as well. How many struggle with anxiety? Some of y'all like, I'm anxious just admitting it. And the question I ask you is this: why are you anxious? Why are you worried? Do you trust him? These are rhetorical questions. Answer on the inside. Do you trust him? No. Do you really trust him? My trust level, the depth of my trust level with him, shows everything on how anxious I am about stuff. I'm not trying to undo what he said. What I'm saying is, stuff is going to happen. Amy came home today. I get a text on the way, her way home. I need you to pray for me. We need to talk. She had one of those anxiety days, stressful days. But what she didn't know is so had I. And I did. I took about 25 minutes of her story, and then I was done because I was like, okay, this is what you do. This is how you fix that. Why are you worried? You know why I was quick to dismiss hers? Is because I was having some worry issues. Here I was trying to be Mr. Fix-It-All, but on the inside, I had worry. So it's for all of us. It's for the pastor, for the worship leaders, it's for you, it's for me. Man, when stuff happens, just go, okay, right on up. I give it to him. So today, I got some bad news that I did not like. And Sabrina was trying to help me through, because it's church related, and I can't say right now, okay, because we live in a small town, so don't worry about it, okay? Because I have to make sure I keep my flesh in check. And so, because I'm a real big talker, so I have to be careful. But I wanted to use this. And it got my anxiety I was PO'd, for lack of a better word. And so, I hung up from her. I'm at the house, and she's trying to help the situation, Sabrina is. And all of a sudden, my phone goes off, and I get a text message. And it's from Bryn. Is she in here or is she next door? It's from Bryn, Sabrina's daughter. And it says,
bless you. Just to show you that God knows where you are and God cares, okay? I'm not going to drag this out. Listen, it says this. It says, reading one of Daddy's books, that would be her dad, Kelly, who's in heaven tonight. Reading one of Daddy's books and thought I'd share this page with you. Now, B is stressed, hot, mad, angry. God, I'm just trying to reach our city. Why am I having to deal with this? And this is what she says. It's a book, a picture of a book from a devotional from T.D. Jakes on power living. And the theme of this particular thing says, Jesus stood his ground. When you are assured of your purpose, you're not fearful of men or external personal conflicts that attempt to hinder you. Why? Because you know with confidence that sooner or later, every trial, every hindering situation, and every opposing person, and I was dealing with an opposing person, and every opposing person and thing in your life will eventually and inevitably bow and submit to God's plan and purpose for your life. It's just a matter of time and circumstance. The person who knows his or her purpose and God-given vision behaves in a strategic, precise, and decisive manner for spiritual warfare. Think about what we're talking about on Sundays right now. Spiritual warfare. Paul told Timothy to wage a good warfare by the prophecies that went before him. When you know your purpose, you won't sit and passively allow things to occur that are contrary to God's purpose and vision for your life. Neither will you be so quick to get discouraged when situations bring conflict and disorder. And so I replied back, you must have talked to your mama in the past 30 minutes. And she said, no, actually I didn't. Why? It's just the Holy Spirit. And we conversed a little bit more, and then I said, you might have sent that, but it was your daddy telling me, I still got your back. Because Kelly, for me, when I was being molded and shaped for this position that I didn't know was in front of me at the time, he'd be the first one before I'd ever come off the platform when I just start speaking and Dad would allow me to speak. He'd be the first one to come up and encourage. And when Kelly passed, I thought, well, how in the world do you move forward? How do you do this when you need... God knows right where you are. That was why I said everything that I just said. God knows right where you are. Don't worry. I was freaking out. And Bryn had no idea what we had just discussed. Oh, and then I let Sabrina in on it too. I said, your daughter is being used by the Holy Ghost. And I sent her the pictures. And she goes, because I asked her, I said, you said that was your dad's book? And she screenshotted his own handwriting where he wrote his name, Kelly Shepherd, in the top of that book. I just bust out in tears. Because God knows right where I am. And he knows right where you are. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares. And when we hold on to it, basically what we're saying is, how you care isn't good enough. I'm still going to hold this thing. So, as I close, anybody want to stand and say, I'm casting whatever that thing is that you're dealing with tonight. I know what mine is. I'm having to take my hands off of it, because if I keep my hands on it and if I run this because I want people to know and I got clout and this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to go on the paper and I'm going to go on social media, all that junk I was talking today. Now that might be a backup plan, but all that junk I was talking today, that's my way of handling stuff. And God says, I can't get the glory through that. So anybody want to stand with me tonight and say, I'm giving that thing, whatever that is for you, to him. And that's it. We're going home. And that's right in line with where he's at. Because what prevents us? What prevents us from giving that thing over to him? Clogged cables. A clogged ground. What are you grounded to? Are you grounded to what everybody else says, or are you grounded to what he says? The reason I got nasty a little bit, just nobody saw it. It was just me and God and Kelly. He obviously saw it because he's like, you need to calm down. The reason I got that way is because there's still flesh in here. And flesh corrodes my foundation. Amen? Just like it does yours. So, Father, we stand before you tonight.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. For more content from Forward or just to connect with us, go to myforwardchurch.org. We love you. The best is yet to come.